It's the Barber Beefcake to face the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, your beef is not with the madness, no. I just knocked you out, yeah. Sensational Sherry, she did the strutting and the cutting, yeah. Uh-huh, Sensational Sherry, tell Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the one with no hair, how intense we are, yeah.
Oh, Brutus, how does it feel to feel the scissors of Sensational Sherry and the Macho Madness? It seems we could do our own strutting and a cutting.
Oh, yeah. Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I'm going to pretend that you're Hulk Hogan, yeah. Hiding from the madness, yeah. And when I get you, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, even though you're mad at Sherry, it's not going to matter because I'm going to beat you just like Hulk Hogan, yeah. Come on, Brutus.
Sensational Sherry to be in the Macho Man's corner tonight at the Nashville Auditorium when he faces Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Do not miss a moment of the action.
All right, folks, everybody knows what time it is. It's time for another episode of The Greatness of Randy Savage. Today we are in Disc 2, and we're picking up where we left off. Now we are at May 16th, 1989, for Randy Savage versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake. This was a feud that started right after WrestleMania 5 and would go on for pretty much the rest of the year. So let's get going. 3, 2, 1, go. So we'll see. This is from a wrestling challenge taping. Mike McGurk doing the ring announcing, as she would for quite a few years, kind of sharing the duties with Fink. Scary Sherry. Sherry is spelt incorrectly on that sign. But I've seen much worse from wrestling fan signs, of course. Here we go. Sherry. Scary Sherry. The Sensational Sherry. There is the correct spelling of Sherry. Leading her man, Randy Savage, down to the ring and looking very attractive, I must say. Sherry, that is. Savage, not too bad either. So, like I said, this feud between Savage and Brutus the Barber Beefcake started right after WrestleMania 3, or 5, sorry, on an episode of the Brother Love Show, basically, where Savage and Sherry turned the tables on Brutus and gave him a haircut, which, for a guy who has a gimmick with the cutting people's hair, that's great. A great way to start a feud against him and to get great heat is by cutting the barber's hair. So here we go. This, I'm assuming, is a match that hasn't seen the light of day before. I could be wrong. I don't think we have any commentary. So that's usually a sign that this match has never been released anywhere. Beefcake is livid. I don't know. I haven't seen the angle from the Brother Love Show where he got his hair cut, so I can't remember how much hair he had cut, but his hair is definitely a lot shorter than it was at the beginning of 1989. He's basically reverted back to his Dream Team hair length. Oh, isn't that nice? We have a young kid as the ringside taking care of Savage's robe. You didn't see that too often in the WWF. It's kind of random. I wonder where this is coming from. Like I've said on previous episodes, I go into these matches cold. I don't do any research. I don't check where the show was taped. So I have no idea. And you can't really tell. There's no... This is, you know, they filmed in so many different arenas in the United States and Canada. A lot of them very obscure. So this could be just about anywhere. Definitely not a huge arena, doesn't look like. Beefcake coming out hot here. making it to Macho Man. These guys wrestled on a episode of Saturday Night's Main Event from around this time. And the whole thing, this feud, would become intertwined with Hulk Hogan and his feud with Zeus. Yeah, I don't know if you could really call it a feud since they didn't wrestle each other until much later, and then it was only in tag team settings. But yeah, it was a feud of sorts. Anyway, it became a team feud later in the year, in the summer, when it was revealed that Brutus was basically Hogan's best buddy. And that was true to life, basically. Hogan and Beefcake had been friends for years and had wrestled in most of the same territories, especially when Hogan was just starting. They were together. Beefcake started Florida, just like Hogan. And Beefcake, when he was young, was known as Dizzy Hogan in a lot of areas. Basically, Hogan's kayfabe brother. And I remember there was a wrestling magazine called The Wrestling Eye, which was an interesting wrestling magazine in that it often broke kayfabe, and it was sort of a mix of kayfabe and shoot stories. And one of the articles I always remember is the one that debunked which wrestlers were actually related and which were just, you know, kayfabe relations. And one of the examples was that Hogan and Beefcake, although they, or Beefcake once wrestled as a Hogan, they're not actual brothers. And coincidentally, one of the revelations in that article was that Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo were actual brothers, even though they were on WWF TV, they were never acknowledged as such, but of course were real brothers and were wrestled as brothers prior to coming to the WWF. So it was a very eye-opening article as a kid, only 9-10 years old, reading that and reading about things that were never talked about on WWF TV. So Beefcake and Hogan, yeah, joined at the hip for a long time. I'm sure Hogan was the one who opened the door for Beefcake to come to the WWF at the end of 1984. And famously, Beefcake would carry Hogan's bags in airports and stuff like that. I don't think they're close anymore. I think they had a falling out over something or the other and no longer speak to each other. Sleeper here, this is Beefcake's finisher, which of course is what you need to put somebody out so you can cut their hair while they're asleep. The crowd, of course, rabid and wanting to see a haircut. A little trim on the Macho Man. As long as this feud went on, I don't think Savage ever had his hair cut by Beefcake, but Sherry definitely at SummerSlam 89, and here's the end of this match, obviously. Sherry coming in to DQ Randy Savage. And as I was saying at SummerSlam 89, where it's Hogan and Beefcake against Savage and Zeus, the post-match of that one sees Sherry getting her ponytail cut off. Long, very long ponytail. I'm not sure if it was actually real or not, now that I think about it. And she hit Beefcake with his bag that had his shears in it, and he was teasing that he was going to open it up and start sniffing some hair. Big atomic drop. Macho bump to the outside. Interesting that he went through the second rope. I think, I don't know if this was his mindset, but he would often take a bump, like a huge bump over the top rope. Maybe he was thinking, well, this is a match that isn't really important in the grand scheme of things. I'm not going to take that huge bump over the top. I'll just do a bump through the top and middle ropes instead. Okay, now we're at, Well, we're ahead quite a few months now. November 1st, 1989. A lot has changed in the interim. Savage is now the king of the WWF, having defeated Hacksaw Jim Duggan just on a TV, regular Saturday TV show, in a match for the crown. I basically stopped watching regularly in the summer of 89, so I can't remember the exact circumstances that led to Duggan putting the crown at stake against Savage. And that crown, so the one that Savage had here was so cheap looking. Like, it was almost like a toy you could get from Toys R Us or something. And then, of course, he changed his gear, now wearing the regal color of purple, as all the kings of the WWF had to. And he's going against the mighty Hercules here. This is an interesting matchup, because they're two guys that never really had an issue with each other at all over the years. Hercules was slowly descending down the cards at this point. I mentioned this on an earlier episode when Hercules was in a tag match where actually him and Savage were partners. And I mentioned how Hercules from 87 to 90 had this slow descent. I mean, he turned babyface in 88 and that gave him some juice and made him more important for a while. But by this time, by November 89, he was pretty much a jobber to the stars. Wasn't involved in any feuds, angles, or storylines or anything. And he wouldn't get revitalized until the following year, 1990, where he goes back to being a heel and he teams up with Paul Roma in the very underrated Power and Glory tag team. Big clothesline by Herc. Savage in trouble. And another thing about Hercules in the slow descent is that he's now wearing powder blue, light blue trunks, and that is often looked at by wrestling fans as a sign of one's descent down the cards, as you start to wear light blue trunks. I can't think of any other examples off the top of my head, but it's funny that Hercules is an example of that, I guess. Macho Man. Feeling it now. He's basically been totally dominated by Hercules. Look at this. Sherry, never afraid to get involved. Hercules. Trying to be a gentleman and not get too physical with her. Oh, that's pretty much a textbook standard spot for Savage and Sherry, with the baby face being distracted and then hit from behind by Savage and rammed into the ring post. Of course, somehow the referee missed all that and now is overly concerned with Savage in the ring. I don't know if I brought this up on a previous episode. I think I did. I've definitely talked about it on several podcasts over the years. It's one of my major pet peeves in wrestling is having a referee come off like an idiot and making him look stupid and doing things like that where he's, like I said, he was overly concerned with Savage in the ring and missed everything that happened on the outside. It made no sense why he would turn his back for that long. But most wrestling over the years, especially WWF, WWE wrestling, has never been too terribly concerned with making the referee look like a total idiot in a match. Sherry just laying it to Herc on the outside. Now again, the referee overly concerned with Savage and turning his back and It's just, the psychology sucks because the referee should be concerned about someone like Sherry on the outside, because how many times has she interfered in a match? And you should, if this was real, you know, putting on my kayfabe hat, as Peter Winston likes to say, the referee, if you're a referee in a match with Randy Savage and Sherry, you would have it in the back of your head, you know, I got to keep an eye out for Sherry during this match, because she's been known to interfere. But instead, I'll turn my back and just assume she's not doing anything while Hercules is on the outside with her. Macho getting a near fall there. Hercules in trouble. Savage. It's a signature spot of his. But, I mean, really, Savage should know not to go for these pinfalls yet. Hasn't hit Hercules with his flying elbow smash. He's setting him up here for it, though, I would think. But taking too much time. Not as much urgency as he usually has or needs to for this. Hercules having a ton of time, and of course, Savage misses the elbow. Big pop from the crowd. Hercules. Yep, Savage with the foolish SD Jones Memorial charge into the corner. Another Peter Winston invention. Here comes the comeback. Hercules kind of sluggish here. Crowd's into it, though. Ooh. Into the bread basket. Big clothesline. Hercules really quite limited in his repertoire. Lots of clotheslines. Come on, Hercules. If there's Vince was commentating, you'd probably say, hit her in the kisser. Oh. Savage takes a big bump to the outside. This match has gone on a lot longer than I thought it would. Oh. You can see the finish coming a mile away here, though. Referee again. Totally not paying attention. Ooh, but Hercules actually kicked out of it. Well, color me surprised. This referee, I don't know his name. He was a referee for several years in the WWF. He's just annoying the hell out of me here. Savage again up top. Ooh. Interesting, going for a flying body press. He wouldn't do that too often. Hercules caught him. Big backbreaker. But he's too close to the ropes. I mean, he's actually... The ref shouldn't even have been counting that because he's through the ropes to begin with. Again, the referee is completely oblivious to anything that Sherry's doing on the outside. Just, nah, she couldn't possibly be interfering in this. Why should I pay her any? Hercules also being, he's the opposite of the referee, he's being distracted too much by Sherry. Ugh. Yep, another clothesline, because that's all Hercules could bloody do. And there we see more interference. Again, the referee was just totally concerned with Savage's well-being. Unable to multitask as a referee, can only focus his attention on one thing at a time. Is this going to be a count out? The referee doesn't even appear to be counting. Now he is. Savage. Oof. Big kick on Hercules. It's been an interesting match. I've seen multiple heats by Savage. Oh. Maybe Hercules is going to sneak back in for the win. That would be a huge upset. Even a count out. Nope. Sherry, oh, finally the referees. But of course, that's what she wanted the referee to do, because Savage just hit Hercules with Sherry's loaded purse. Okay. You can stop now, Sherry. One, two, three. It's over. That referee should be ashamed of himself. He should have been fired on the spot for that pathetic display of officiating. Jack Tunney definitely needs to look in, do a performance review on this guy. He's just horrible. Immediately the crown, the plastic cheap crown put on Savage's head. Gives a kiss. I don't know if Savage would have looked weird in the crown that the other kings had, like Harley Race and Haku and Duggan. I mean, he wanted to put his own spin on it, but just looking at it here, it just looks so cheap. He didn't go for the purple robe either, or did he? Well, kind of, I guess he did. Yeah, he made it his own. Your winner, Randy Savage. I haven't been keeping track of the one loss record for Savage in these matches we've watched, but it's definitely won way more than he's lost. Okay, well, that's another two matches in the can, and that's 1989 in the can, so next time we will be into the 1990s, and I'll see everyone then. Bye-bye.